We've been doing a sermon series on prayer. I've enjoyed it. It definitely has allowed me to visit many of the different characters in the Bible. Some of them we know very well, and some of them we don't know as well. But even the ones that I know really well, I love the fact that God brings out something new inside of me. It's interesting, when we were there for Sharon's dad's funeral, one of the fondest memories I have of my grandma, and she's already passed away, that's my mom's mom, one of the things that she gave to me was her love of wrestling. Yeah, I had this little tiny, she's about, I'd say about 4'9", 4'10", thin as a rail, German lady, and she loved wrestling, the kind that you see it on TV, and that was way back in the day, so this is WWF wrestling, and she watched him. As a matter of fact, she would tell me whenever a wrestler would come on the screen, oh, that's a good one, he's a bad guy, she knew them all. Matter of fact, covering her coffee table were all these wrestling magazines. I'm serious. My grandma. You never, ever, I mean, it was soap operas and WWF. She knew both, like the back of her hand. And so it's because of her that I know Andre the Giant. I watched him. I know Captain Lou Albano. I know Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I know them. See, some of you are like, who the heck is he talking about? But some of you are like, oh, I know Bob Backlund. I know the Wild Samoans. Oh, yeah, I do. But see, the older I got, though, I learned wrestling wasn't real. It was staged. I'm sorry for those of you who didn't know that. I probably have just shattered some of your dreams. But I was at first disappointed, too. I was. Because, honestly, but the more that I thought about it, I was okay with it. Because, look, these huge guys were able to throw people around and slam them and do all that stuff without really hurting themselves. I mean, that to me was quite impressive. And I'm not going to lie, it was quite entertaining to watch some of that stuff. But the truth is that we wrestle against lots of things in our life, both good and bad. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. See, today we're going to learn about someone who had the guts. I don't know. I'm not sure if that was the kind of the smartest plan, but he had the guts to wrestle God. Now, have you ever heard someone make the statement, you know, that I'm wrestling with God, or I'm wrestling with God in prayer over somebody or over a situation? Have you ever heard people? You may even have said that yourself. Well, I thought maybe today we should look at what that really means and see how that could maybe enhance our relationship or our prayer life with God. Now, some of you may remember the story of Jacob and Esau. To some of you, is that kind of familiar? Let me give you kind of a synopsis, you know, just kind of give you an overview. I'll tell you where you can find it, where you can read it for yourself this upcoming week. But basically, Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. Esau was born first, just barely, but he was born first. And Esau was favored by his dad. His dad, Isaac, loved Esau. Now, Jacob, his younger twin brother, he was loved by his mom, Rebekah. Now, this is later in life, but their dad was on his deathbed. Barely could see. Was going to die real soon. He went to his oldest son, Esau, and said, I'm about to die. Now, before I die, I want you to one more time go out and hunt for me. Make me my favorite food. Sounds like a real man, you know? Go out and hunt. Get me some real food, fix it up for me, bring it to me. I'm going to eat it, and then I'm going to bless you. So Esau goes off and starts to hunt. Now, Rebekah hears about this. She then goes to Jacob, the younger son, and says, all right, I got an idea. let's get you the blessing. So she kind of comes up with a scheme that Jacob kind of follows. And even before Esau comes back with the food, Jacob steals his blessing. Now, obviously Esau is a little upset about that. Matter of fact, he makes a vow, I'm going to kill you. And look, I would be justifiably upset here. So Jacob flees. He runs off. Now, you can read all that and read it, write it down. Genesis 25. That will tell you all about that story. Now, where we're going to pick it up, this is right after Jacob escapes basically an all-out war with his uncle Laban. Laban basically spent about 20 years extorting, stealing from Jacob. Took about 20 years of his life away from him. Then Jacob grabbed a bunch of stuff and ran off. Laban wasn't happy. They literally almost came to blows. Now, actually, you can read all about that in Genesis chapter 28. So you've got some homework to do this week. Now, currently, right now, Jacob does not have a good relationship with his dad. Doesn't. Obviously, he's on the run from his brother Esau, who wants to kill him. His relationship with God, it's spotty at best. It really is. He doesn't have a good relationship with God. And all these... Now, I don't want you to feel bad about Jacob, though. See, really, all these things that have happened to Jacob, it's Jacob's fault. He's not innocent in any of this at all. He's really created his own mess. Matter of fact, he was appropriately named. See, the name Jacob means heel grabber. What that really is saying is that he's someone who takes something that he doesn't deserve through schemes, through deception. That was how Jacob lived his life. So after years of living apart, we're now at a point where Jacob wants to go home. He wants to go back where his dad is. He wants to mend the relationship that he has with his brother Esau. But see, the problem, though, where we're going to start reading is Esau finds out where Jacob is. And he's coming to meet him. He's not coming alone, though. He's coming with an army of 400 men. He's not happy. So Jacob's scared. And justifiably so. I mean, he stole from him lots of different things. So Jacob being Jacob, you know what he does? He takes his entire family and splits them in half. You know what his logic is? Well, if Esau gets one half, he may kill all them, but the other half can escape. Kind of twisted logic, isn't it? All right, only half of my family is going to die. And nobody also starts doing? He starts sending out presents to Esau. Kind of like every few miles, he sends like a bunch of like cattle here, a bunch of like produce and food here. He's hoping to kind of butter up Esau before they finally meet him face to face, and maybe he'll treat me a little kinder. Right, so let's start where we're going to do. It's in Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to start in verse 22. I'm going to read you the whole story, and then we'll just break it apart. So Genesis 32, starting in 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask me my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." Now, there are a lot of different lessons as we kind of peel back different parts of this. So I believe, though, each one of these have the ability to change your relationship with God. Because we're going to learn how God uses difficult situations in our life to grow us, to strengthen us. Even pain that's self-inflicted, Look, I'm talking about pain that really was not someone else's fault, but was completely your fault. God is still able to take that and turn that to good. So the night began with kind of Jacob basically dreading Esau's arrival. That's really what happened. Matter of fact, he was full of fear. He was just worrying, you know, that half of his family was going to be attacked and destroyed while the other half, you know, escaped. But remember, we read the whole story, though. So if you look at the big picture, he ended that night of struggle with God's blessing, right? And a renewed faith in God. See, all of our struggling with God in faith, it has the potential to lead to peace. And that's an important way to kind of sum up this whole thing. But see, are you ready for the struggle, though? Are you ready to wrestle with God? Because, look, I find it interesting that God didn't literally speak like into Jacob's life through a dream or a vision. That's how he had did it in the past. He usually came to him in a vision or a dream. But for whatever reason, God decides to show up and do an all-night wrestling match, which I think is just kind of cool. Matter of fact, the Jacob, though, he probably felt like pretty bad timing. I mean, this is not, look, he's about to meet with his brother who is out to kill him with a huge army. I mean, all he really wanted was some comfort, right? He wanted some assurance from God that you're going to be with me, that you're going to get me through this. The interesting thing is he's going to learn just how comforting that struggle or that wrestling was. Because sometimes God will bring us his comfort in what we would call kind of an unexpected or really an unwanted package. Have you noticed that? Because verse 25 says again, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said, let me go, for the day has been broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. God dislocated Jacob's hip. Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but if I'm about to meet someone who is out to get me, someone who is bringing an army to attack me, maybe, and I really don't know, but at least is coming to intimidate me, I don't want to be in a position of weakness. So now Jacob looks even more vulnerable to Esau, right? It forced Jacob's faith to be completely dependent on God. Completely. He's so used to living his life dependent on himself, though. Because that's what his whole track record has been. Jacob the deceiver. See, I've learned that if necessary, God will cause us to limp in order to increase our faith. Why? Well, because God uses the storms in our life to bring us back to him. It puts us in our proper place. It forces us to cling to him in our weakness. Now, we're not really told who initiated this wrestling match. We're really not. You know, was it God or was it Jacob? I mean, I guess maybe Jacob was mad, you know, kind of frustrated, kind of stressed out, sees a guy walking by his camp and jumps him, starts to wrestle with him. I didn't really buy that, though. Does that make any sense to you? I mean, if I'm a stressed out guy, I don't really think I'm going to want to be wrestling with anyone. Now, I can see God stopping by, challenging Jacob, because look, God wanted to bring him to a point of 100% complete surrender. And the truth is, did this need to be an all-night affair? Did this need to be? I mean, could God have ended this match anytime he wanted to? I mean, look, with just a touch, he dislocates his hip. Jacob really wasn't a challenge to God, right? He just wouldn't give up. See, Jacob was used to getting what he wanted by any way possible, usually by human means, right? Usually came up with a scheme, came up with a way of tricking or fooling someone into something. But once Jacob figures out that this is no mere mortal he's wrestling with, wrestling God. He goes back to how he lives his life, though, right? I've learned that when stress comes, have you noticed, we go back to what is comfortable to us? We go back to what we saw maybe growing up. We go back to just the way that it's always worked. Well, that's what Jacob does. He's like, well, I'm not letting go until I get my blessing. I'm not ending this. You started it, so I'm finishing this. But that's when God touches the hip. He notices then, this is going a little longer than I wanted. So let me just touch this hip right here. Jacob's now in a worse position, right? You got an army that's about to attack you, or at least is going to intimidate you. How do you run away from an army when your hip has just been dislocated? He ain't getting away, is he? See, God knows this. It's interesting how God brings us extreme pain in some situations to put us at a point of desperation. Have you noticed that in your life? That God sometimes will bring pain in ways that just seem excruciating? Why is it that in order for many of us to be willing to change, God has to bring so much pain in a way that the pain of staying is worse than the pain of changing? But let's be honest. How many of us would actually be willing to change unless the pain of staying the same was worse? Talked to you about a lot of that, haven't I? A number of you have come to me saying, Pastor, this is getting tough. And usually my question is, well, has the pain of today, is it strong enough to push you away? Is it strong enough to make you do some decisions in your life that you've needed to do for years? But let's be honest. Was God there to hurt Jacob? God was there to teach Jacob submission. See, God actually wanted a closer relationship with Jacob. And he used pain to bring him. See, God will do whatever it takes to turn us away from ourselves in order to point us back to Him. God will apply fire in your life to purify what does not belong. Now, see, Jacob was given a blessing. The gift, well, I mean, I guess you could call it a gift. It was a limp, but a new name. It caused him to understand that it's in our weakness that we are strongest. We don't like that. That's just not the American way, is it? You know? We're strong. We're tough. See, it's when we latch onto God and we hold on for dear life. When we know we're nothing. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How do you get to that point? That's not just surviving through them, is it? That's actually being content, dare I say, looking forward to them because you've seen what happens when you walk through them. Is it possible that God brings storms in our life to break us? Break the pride, break selfishness, break laziness? Just to turn us back to Him? Look, I can promise you this. God will always win the wrestling match. Always. And if we're smart, we'll learn to submit sooner than all night long. Because, look, Jacob's wrestling match changed his identity, didn't it? He was no longer to be known as the one who received his blessings by deception. He didn't have to trick people anymore in order to get blessed. He wasn't going to be a heel grabber anymore. This time, he received God's blessing by pressing into God by faith. The struggle turned out to be kind of a, you'd almost call it like a gracious gift of God's restoration power, wasn't it? You know, God saw that Jacob had a tenacious faith, one that digged in deep, one that said, you know what? I got nothing left to lose. I'm holding on for dear life. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Look, when God calls us to wrestle with him, there's always more going on than what we kind of first understand. Have you noticed that? When the pain starts coming, there's more that meets the eye. Remember, God pursued Jacob for this one. I really believe that God was the initiator. See, Jacob's kind of stewing over his own anxiety. His brother's coming. He sees the approaching army. See, that wrestling match kind of drew him out of his fear. It forced him to focus on God. I doubt that he wanted this forced focus. Do we ever really ask for the pain? Do we? Matter of fact, I bet you when it first started, the wrestling match, how many of you want to bet that he was praying, God, can you get this guy off my back? God, you know what's happening later, you know. Come on, God, heal me, fix this, get rid of this. Does that sound familiar in your life? The pain comes. God, what are you doing? I'm asking you for help, and now I got some dude who just jumped on my back. Help me. Fix this. Remove it. Cut it off. See, but what he discovered was the wrestling match was God's means for grace. It was a channel of God's blessing to him. And the same's true for us. See, wrestling kind of plays an important part in our spiritual development. It really does. See, look, in my own life, when I've had the inability to wrestle with God, you know what it's kind of made my relationship with God? It makes it kind of phony. It makes it kind of stale, fake. See, wrestling with God kind of allows you to see the real you. Because you know what? You don't care anymore what other people think. You just want to meet with God. You don't care what other people say. Because, you know, I got nothing left to lose. I got an army coming. I got a dislocated hip. Man, I'm just holding on for everything that I got. So what does God do when he wrestles us? You know what I've learned? God grapples. He holds. He pins. Wrestling is kind of a dirty sport, isn't it? I mean, in reality, man, I mean, it's God has no problem twisting an arm. God has no problem popping a hip. Really doesn't. But not only does God bless Jacob, he actually transformed his life. See, God first calls him Israel, which means, well, he says that he's calling him Israel because he has striven with God and man and prevailed. See, but prevailing for Jacob isn't pinning God. Prevailing is actually God pinning Jacob. It was by losing that Jacob actually won. See, he used to be called the deceiver, but his new identity is Israel. You know what Israel means? It means let God rule. See, Jacob had spent his entire life with him ruling, him figuring it out, him getting the blessing, him getting the stuff from Laban, him getting the goods from Dad. See, but God rules us when he wrestles and pins us. I'm telling you, when he wins, we win. Because we're blessed. Look, he may wound or pop your hip, but see, it's the surgeon's wound. See, he's the perfect surgeon. He knows exactly where to cut. He knows exactly the right way to position you for growth and healing. See, someone who knows how to prune a tree properly trims it in just the right place, not to kill the tree, but to actually cause it to become more fruitful. That's what God does. When you wrestle with God, you never leave the same. Now, I kind of want to finish this story up. There's a verse kind of tucked away right after this wrestling match that I want to read for you. I believe it's really important. It's Genesis chapter 33, verse 20. It says, "There he erected an altar and called it El Eloe Israel." Some of you may look at that and say, "Pastor, what's so earth-shattering about that scripture?" Those words mean the God of Israel. Well, think about this. Right after Jacob, who is now called Israel, once he finishes wrestling with God, he builds an altar and he calls it the God of Israel. All right, you may not be getting it. Here, let me put up another scripture. This is Genesis 28:13. It says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your offspring." See, this happened before the wrestling match. All right, maybe you're not getting it yet. Let me read another scripture for you. This is Genesis 32, verse 9. This is before the wrestling match again. "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, O Lord, said to me, return to your country and your kindred, that I may do you good." All right, one more. I'll give you one more. This will bring it all together. Genesis 31:42. Okay, just the first part of the verse. It says, "If the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed." Do you see the common thread in all these scriptures? See, to Jacob, God was the God of Abraham, and God was the God of Isaac. See, he never says that God was the God of Israel until after the wrestling match. See, until he had that divine appointment with God, until he had a personal struggle with God, his faith wasn't cemented. It wasn't his own. Look, he knew the God of his father Isaac. Look, he had heard the stories of how God was the God of Abraham, and how God did miracle after miracle in his grandfather's life. But it wasn't his own. He was only living his faith vicariously through his dad and through his grandfather. It wasn't personal to him. I mean, remember Job, as I covered that? After literally losing everything, remember he lost his kids, his health, everything that he owned. He spent untold hours arguing with friends over what he did and what he didn't do. He even spent prayers just talking to God, asking, "Hey, what's going on?" Then he finally sees things from God's perspective at the very end. Like, just put up that one verse in 42, verse 5. It says, "I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you." You see, I've been a Christian my entire life. I have. I really don't remember a time before I knew Jesus. I don't remember. Look, I was 7 years old. It was in an elementary school in Danbury, Connecticut. It was called Stadley Rough. That's where the church met that we were attending at the time. I gave my life to Jesus. Honestly, I didn't look back then. From there on, I spent my entire life following Jesus the best I could. He was all I knew. I mean, I tried to help other people see the same Savior and help them see him in the eyes that I saw him. But truth be told, especially early in my life, I didn't have a lot of trials in my life. I didn't have a lot of examples of God's, power. I really didn't. Well, because God had been very faithful to me early in my life. He really did. I didn't have a lot of, I guess you'd say, trouble. Well, I guess until addictions hit my siblings. Well, and then until my mom got a brain tumor. And then, until we moved back from Tulsa to Connecticut, and we left every single one of our friends behind. And my wife was sobbing on the plane as we were coming here. And then when I quit my corporate job to become a pastor, left that path. And then when depression hit our family, that was hard. And then I remember when the church bank account hit $100 and was actually not doing well. See, until you've hit walls that you can't fix or remove, you will never truly understand God. You won't. It was those times of prayer when I had my wrestling matches with God. See, that was when my faith became my own. It wasn't the faith of Pastor John Mallett anymore. It wasn't. It was the faith of Chris Mallett. It was my faith. And just like Jacob, I could build an altar then. And I called it the God of Chris Mallett. That's when it became personal to me. And look, and to be honest, right now, I see a new round of testing coming. I do. I see literally battles raging in so many different family members here at FCA. I see them coming. But I have a feeling that we better get ready to wrestle, and we better get ready to wrestle now. But see, it's okay though, because I know that God is here. I know that God, he's put a level of faith in me to know that I've wrestled before, I've seen his providence, and so I anticipate where that wrestling match is going to lead to. And it's for my good. See, I've been in those divine wrestling matches with God. He touched me just like he touched Jacob, and I was never the same. I'm not the same person I once was. And usually you can tell that is usually you can look at your prayer life. Your prayer life changes. It transforms. See, now when I'm just walking around, God will just pop into my mind and it brings a smile to my face. It's not like that never happened before, but now it's happening more. And I find myself just walking through daily life and I'm overwhelmed by God's grace and mercy. And I just have to stop and pause and say, you're awesome, God. I love you. And it has changed to the point where even when it's times of pain and times of trouble, it's, all right, God, what are you doing? Do I need to hold on a little tighter? Do I need to latch on? Do I need to latch on a little stronger? It reminds me of the worship time this morning when you just want to be in front of your dad, you know what I mean, and just kind of raise your hands up and say, hold me. You're not even latching on yourself anymore. You literally want the arms of God to wrap them around you and just pull you up and squeeze you and hold you tight. We actually see this type of relationship happen in Jacob's life. Near the end of his life, we see kind of a similar transformation in how he responds to God. In Genesis 35, verse 3, it says, then let us arise and go up to Bethel, so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. See, you see that personal relationship begin to develop in Jacob. The recognition that God was always with him wherever he went. It's that sense of closeness that you only get with quality time and quantity time. Matter of fact, even when we find Jacob at the end of his life dying, he's close to the last breath he has, and he wants to bless his children and his grandchildren. Look at the scripture in Genesis 48, verse 15. It says, and he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, and the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. Can't you just see a grandpa kind of sitting there? And he starts to think about what God has done in his life and where he's brought him. You kind of see like a smile cross his face as he's telling his kids and his grandkids of just how great he is, just how dependable he is, just how loving he is, just how much hope and peace that he is. You can kind of sense kind of peace entering the room as he kind of breathes his last breath, as his family surrounds him, just knowing how great God is. I mean, maybe you're struggling in your faith today. I don't know. Do you find yourself in a divine wrestling match with God? Look, I know the pain. I've been there. I know the fear. I know the, well, God, what's going on? Wait a minute. I came to you for help, and it seems like this dude just jumped me out of nowhere when I was asking you for more help. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Keep wrestling. Matter of fact, even if you feel your hip pop right out of place, you know what? I don't care what part of God you got to grab onto. You grab on with everything that's inside you and you grip it as tight as you can. Just as tight as you grip on the things of this world, you know, with the things we white knuckle, we won't let God have. Let go and just grab onto the leg of God and just hold on with everything you have. Don't walk away. So I know the change that takes place in your heart when you've taken the time to engage God. When you get to know his heart. See, I know when he touches you and he changes you and he blesses you. When you're not known as the deceiver, when you're not known as the one who gets things through your own strength, who gets things through your own wisdom, through your own schemes, but you're known as, no, my God rules whatever he wants. Whatever he needs. See, I know the joy of that relationship, one that's truly personal. Stand with me this morning. See, I don't know where you're at. Many of you may have been in the church most of your life. Some of you may have grown up in a Christian family, and to be honest, it's really not your God. It's the God of your dad, or the God of your mom, or the God of your grandma, or the God of... It's time to start to wrestle with God and make that faith your own. Some of you are going through painful things in your life. And to be honest, they're your fault. Some of them are. Some of you are going through painful things that had nothing to do with you. It was not your fault at all. Happens both ways, doesn't it? But honestly, does that change the pain? It still hurts, doesn't it? Are you holding on? Are you willing to wrestle? Are you willing to be stubborn enough to say, God, I'm not leaving until I get a blessing. I'm not leaving your presence until I know that I know that I know that you are with me. That'll change.